Nathan, it's been a little while since we've done a podcast together. It's kind of been crazy times.
I've missed you, man.
we're actually able to do this podcast now together instead of, even though like there's new cases, new spikes in COVID.
There's distance.
There's still distance. I think we're just shy of spitting distance.
That's right. Let's not try.
So what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, I was thinking we should have a conversation about language.
That's a really good one. So,
yeah, like watch your mouth, Scott.
Yeah, screw you. No. We interrupt this podcast to talk a little bit about bits. See, the last time that I was in the market for trying to buy and purchase a bit, one of the things that drove me crazy was trying to find a bit that was not only comfortable for my horse, but affordable at the same time. Well, that's when I ran across AJ's Bit and Tack. And see, they've created bits designed with the horse's comfort in mind. Or get this, the horse poor equestrian. That's right up my alley. See, they have a huge selection of bits, from plain smooth snaffle bits all the way up to curve bits. And they literally only have humane mouth options only. Something cool that I found out about them is not only do they hold certifications for teaching, competing, and judging, but to prove that they have extensive bit knowledge, they hold certifications in equine anatomy and therapy. See, they're a small family-operated one-on-one customer service with the knowledge to help you select the perfect bit. So next time you are in the market to find that perfect bit, make sure to check out AJ's Bits and Tack. Too many times do we think about things like, let's, for example, say things that we want, mm-hmm. right? And I don't mean necessarily products. I don't mean like, I want the new iPhone. But saying things like, I want to be a better rider. I want mm-hmm. to be a better spouse. I want to be better financially. Mm-hmm. I've always found that, well, I shouldn't say always. I should probably say it was a relatively new realization that the problems start from literally that verbiage, because you're already setting up to say, I want it, but if I don't get it, I'm
oh, well. Right. Like, there's no definitive date on that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if you can't see that definitive date where there's not a, you know, use it or lose it kind of a moment, then it's like, okay, I'll just want tomorrow too.
It's not really a goal.
Yeah.
It's not something you're truly striving to do.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest thing. And that alone, verbiage can be everything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Conversations we have with ourselves, conversations we have with those around us. There's another side of it, too, and when it comes to language as well. It's when people say always and never.
Always and never. Okay,
what
do you mean?
They're so generalized. They're so sweeping. Meaning, if there's an issue, for example, if somebody's riding
okay.
and it doesn't go well. Well, mm-hmm. this always happens to me. My horse always does this.
Yeah.
And they're missing out on every time that it did not happen. And so what happens is that it distorts our perception of reality using those sweeping conversations like that.
I could totally see that. And I could see that with the word never. You know, yep. He's never done this to me.
Exactly.
I get that so many times when a horse, you know, it comes into training, or, you know, I take a hold of the horse and they say, something happened. He's never done that.
Yep.
And it's one of those things. And,
we just did.
Yeah. I'm not certain about that, you know.
That's right.
So, you know, and so what a really great way of saying always and never probably should, in a sense, be cut out.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't serve the purpose. It's too general.
And we have those words, and we have once probably mm-hmm. should be cut out.
But yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and as soon as you talked about once, first thing I can remember, because years ago, in my early 20s, I was a personal trainer. And so.
What happened?
I know. Kids. Mm-hmm. No, there's excuses. No, so one of the things we got to recognize, I remember so many times I'd have people come in and they'd be like, it's usually women. They're like, I would do anything to have her body. And they would talk about some kind of superstar or whatever the case is. And I would look right at them and I'd be like, no, you wouldn't. And this is my client. They'd be like, yeah. What do you mean I wouldn't? And I was like, Well, you can see her exact diet program, her exact exercise routine. Like, all of that stuff is there. The thing is, you're not willing to do it.
Or you would have started.
You would have done it.
Sure.
And all of those hopes and dreams and wants and all that kind of stuff, it's just stuff.
Yeah.
It's nothing until you put action behind it. And that's usually one of those moments where somebody's like, they're either going to love me or hate me. Right? But it's the truth, because you got to recognize that you can have and do all those things, but are you willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes to have them? The sacrifice to get to that point.
Yeah.
And so
it's just like, you know, you talked about fitness. I mean, fitness is such a great, great one to talk about, because fitness is something that's been a big part of my life. However, I want to be bigger, stronger, faster, better.
Right.
But then I woke up sore after my workout.
You mean it didn't happen one time?
Yeah. I'm like, I woke up sore. I'm like, wait, I got to do this again.
Right.
And so that, even of as big into fitness as I am, sometimes that stops me. You know, I'll admit, even the last few days, I had a really hard workout and I came out sore the next day, and I had that decision. Do I stop and take a break, or do I keep going? Hmm. And I'd like to sit here and say I kept going, but I didn't. I really didn't. But then I do question myself. Is it really a drive? Is it really a want?
Hmm.
Or is it really a goal? Because I'm clearly not doing it. So then I have to force myself to say, if this is something that I want, well, I need to put forth the steps. And maybe in that moment I should have said, do I need to do a full workout, or can I do it in broken up sections to keep the mental part of this going, where I am putting forth the effort? On the days that I struggle, maybe I could do a modified version of it.
Yeah. Well, and that's important too, because in that you recognize there's going to be good days and bad days.
Yes.
And see, the difference though between you and a lot of other folks is that the workout's there, it's hard work, you're sore the next day, and they quit.
Right.
Whereas, okay, so I remember years ago, Gold's Gym used to have a sign on it and said, showing up is 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true.
Yeah.
Like, even if, and this is the kind of the promise that I use for myself for years. Like, I don't care if I go in there and just show up, lift one dumbbell and walk out the door.
Like, at least you're changing kind of muscle memory in a sense. Like,
exactly.
You're getting there. You're making this a habit now.
Being in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, there was never a time when I showed up, lifted one dumbbell and walked home.
Exactly.
Right? Like, it was always, well, yep, if I did this, maybe I can do this.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes turned into, you know, 50 or a workout or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But so setting yourself up for success in those ways lots of times means showing up in the first place.
Yeah.
And recognizing, yes, you're going to have some bad days, but planning for them, not being shocked by them and surprised by them. Wait a second. You showed up, you felt sore. You didn't want to do it anymore? Well, that must not be meant for you.
That's right.
That's not the truth.
That's right. The same could be said when you think about your horses.
Hmm.
You go out and you have a bad day.
Yeah.
Right? You have a terrible ride. You have things don't go your way. Your horse isn't listening. Your horse is spooking. Your horse is doing whatever. Whatever the problem might be having, you might be having. You then start to play in your mind all of the negatives, so that the next time you go out there, you're like, ugh, it was terrible last time.
Yeah.
I almost don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you could even take the same idea and use it for training your horse. And that is, you had a bad day, you go out the next day, maybe you don't want to do the whole thing, but to at least start a new habit, you show up and you use it as an opportunity to maybe just build a relationship, maybe just spend time with them, because then that's a new habit that you're at least getting out there and going, and during all this time, you're changing your state of mind into that of a more of a positive one.
Well said. And sometimes I think too, for people just to show up and be friends with the horse,
right?
Like,
it's lost.
Many times I hear about the connection. That's the biggest thing when people are coming to work with you and I, and a lot of times, yes, there's fear of falling. Yes, there's fear of this and that. But a lot of times people say they grieve the relationship,
yeah,
of just connecting with the horse and being with it, feeling, yeah, that feeling of freedom. And so what if sometimes you're right, you're not going out there and specifically going through an entire routine, but you're just hanging out with your friend.
Yeah.
Right. That's and it helps, right, to build that relationship.
You know, and a word that I used just a moment ago is something that I've really been trying to change a lot with: opportunity.
Hmm.
And this is, I mean, heck, you read any self-help book, they'll probably tell you the same thing. But opportunity should replace in a sense, most of every negative thought, meaning I can't do this.
Yeah.
Should be more, this is now an opportunity for me to do this.
Yeah.
My horse won't let me ride. It's an opportunity that I can learn to have a better connection and learn to listen to him from the ground, maybe. There's a woman in our leadership club, our membership that we have, that I recently imposed these new challenges for everybody to do. And this new challenge is for you to pick one thing that you'd like to better with your horse. One thing.
Nice.
And then pick something personal that you'd like to better within yourself. And it can be anything, right? It can be financial. It could be fitness. It could be health. Whatever. Doesn't matter. And I told people to go live onto our private Facebook group to try to hold them accountable to everything. Well, this woman, what she did was she went live and she showed us she had this neck brace on. She had just recently had surgery. And one of the things that she even realized within herself, which was a great realization, was that she was kept playing all this negative. So her one personal goal, or maybe even, I don't remember if it was a personal goal, at least a goal with the horse, was to stop being so negative about everything. And she could start looking at the positive. And that's where I even chimed in afterwards and said, look at these things as opportunities. Because now, when would you have ever gotten 6 full weeks to sit out there, watch your horse, and listen to what the horse is saying? Yeah. Listen to who they are at their core, who they are at their personality. Because too many times are we thinking about our horse in a way of saying, oh, our horse is crazy, our horse is lazy, our horse is this, that, and the other. You know, he bucks everybody off. Well, what do they do 98% of the time when out in the field? I think even you could guess that. What do? They eat, they sleep, they stand there, they do nothing. They meander, they hang out. Yeah. Exactly. 2% of the time, maybe they get a bug up their ass and they kind of fart and run one way and fart and run the other way, and then they snort and then they eat grass again.
Right.
But then the percentage of that changes when we come involved. Now the horses are crazy 90% of the time while we're there with them, 10% of the time they're calm. What's the common denominator there?
Well said.
So now it's, to me, is thought of, and I know I went on a rant, so sorry about that, but I think of it as opportunities. And that's kind of what I was kind of trying to say earlier, was just take away the negative and use them as opportunities.
Yeah. And really watching your language, the things that you're saying to each other, to the horse, even in your own mind. And that's one of the big things, too, is the real, the movie that you're constantly either playing in your head, things that you're seeing, but also your narrative about it as well, right? Same thing. I want this. I always this. I never this, etc. Are those words that are playing towards what you want or towards, what you want or not?
Yeah.
And so if you're finding yourself in that negative place, even on the inside, you got to first become aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Second, you got to begin to interrupt the patterns. And if you're catching yourself on a spiral of, well, you know, I had a rough ride. Oh, that's like when I did this. And oh, that's like when I did that. And that's when I did this.
You're stacking all your negative together.
It is. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes overwhelming. And then it goes, I'm not getting on a horse again.
Yeah.
And so interrupting those patterns and recognizing it for what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It might have been a rough ride today, but I also learned this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And that helps to propel you forward. And then you begin to challenge yourself with, well, what if I tried this?
Yeah.
And now you have a point to move forward.
Yeah. You know, I know that you and I talk a lot about fears and stuff, and I didn't want to make this entire thing about fear, but we're in the negative part of this, or the part where people think of in the negative. Fear is kind of along the same lines. You know, we always play the what if game and so forth. But there's something interesting that you said to me before we even were recording, was sometimes you don't necessarily have the fear, but you have the fear of fear.
Fear of the fear.
Explain.
So thinking in the future that if the horse bucks, if the horse does X, Y, Z, whatever the case is, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to lose my stuff, right? And if that's the verbiage that you have about yourself, then you're already afraid of the fear. First of all, fear, like I can't give you a box of fear. Like it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And so usually what's happening is there's worry that's kicking in there. There's anxieties that are kicking in there. And the thing about anxiety and worry is that you're creating an almost certain future for yourself, but it's only in the negative.
Yeah.
Like there's an investment. You're buying into that thing saying, okay, this is what's going to happen. So that fear of fear can begin to build up those things already inside of you. And your body, again, we've talked about before, it doesn't know the difference between imagination and reality.
Which so is crazy cool.
Crazy cool, crazy awesome, used in the right way.
sometimes just crazy.
Yeah, that's true. But so if you're playing those scenarios in your head that you're almost certain it's going to be bad, negative, whatever, then your body's going to react in it.
Yeah.
And you're designed, your brain's designed in a way that it wants to keep you alive.
Yeah.
Again, not made to keep you happy.
Yeah.
Made to keep you alive.
Yeah.
And so if all of a sudden you say, well, you know, there's a rabbit out there I can't ride, or the wind is blowing, or whatever the excuse you come up with, that's your brain keeping you from experiencing that fear that didn't even happen.
Yeah.
And so kind of like you were saying, the negative side of it, but if you flip it and all of a sudden you start installing hope into your future, then you're kind of forecasting or broadcasting this almost certain future that's going to be in a positive. So if I see my horse, okay, it's going to buck, instead of that being the end of my ride and forever, it turns into, if it does, what if I did? What if I could? Mm-hmm. And if I try? Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you have something where your body's wiring into that as well, saying, hey, let's give it a shot.
Yeah. And word you just used there, hope. And I want to talk about that, but before we talk about hope, well, I want to talk about how that verbiage is the biggest thing that kind of starts it off. And we said it earlier, subconsciously, that verbiage is already playing that big role, right? So you say it's kind of where to start. It is in starting with your verbiage, because anything, whether it be positive, negative, wants, needs, goals, whatever, all start from within the verbiage. So hope being one of those words is one to maybe change it to. Explain a little bit about what do you mean when you say hope?
So using the word hope, again, you are kind of forecasting, broadcasting a future event for yourself.
Yeah.
But instead of going to worry where you're making it negative, this time you make it positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so using that hope, you are, it's something that has not happened yet,
mm-hmm.
but you're, like we talked about before, for the negative, you're buying into it.
Yeah.
My hope is that this is going to be a great ride. You have to have a little reality check too.
Mm-hmm.
Is this only going to be a great ride if it's 100% perfect everything?
Right.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. It's not going
There's
to be.
There's
going to
be stuff. Mm-hmm. And so hope allows you to take yourself from that place where you're thinking about that future, but you're moving forward in that positive way.
That's a really great, it's a really great thing to think about, moving forward, right? It's kind of that, what's next? What's going next?
Yeah.
Instead of really trying to think about the past that has happened to you.
Hmm.
And, you know, I'll bring up my own personal demons that I have, and probably, and it'll really make sense, because if people can kind of think about it to their horse or whatever, is my own personal demons that I've had. And one of the reasons that ever brought me to you was my fear of flying.
Hmm.
And in my mind, all I start to think about when I think about it flying was, I had this one bad flight that I had. And I keep thinking about every time that I think about the fear, it's going mm-hmm. to be, that's what I'm going to have. I'm going to have that one where it feels like we're going down, we're hitting all this turbulence and all this crap is going on. And I'm just keep thinking about the future, about the past.
Screaming.
And the body's screaming. But it literally, you know, that doesn't mean that I didn't have 100 other good flights.
Right.
You know, and I'm playing on that.
Yeah.
Playing on that one. And same thing goes with riding is... Yeah. A long time ago, as a lot of people know my story, some may not, but a lot of the horse that I have, he was the one that actually made me who I am today, because he was the one that actually made me have a fear of horses.
Hmm.
And it's an interesting thing, because you wouldn't think that your own personal horse is the one that made you have that fear of
that's right. There was this one horse at one time.
Yeah.
No, it's my horse.
Yeah. Well, the funny part about that story is that he wasn't my horse when he made the fear. I had to buy him because he made that fear for me. And so anyway, long story short,
you're going to buy us a jet?
Maybe.
That's how this works.
You know, I didn't think about that. We got to figure out how to make more money.
Right. Like, Scott's like, I don't have any fear anymore.
Yeah. If I'm thinking about buying a private jet. Anyway, I'm not in that tax bracket.
Not even close. Yet.
Yet. This podcast is now being charged instead of free.
That's right. And our sponsor today.
That's right. So anyway, the biggest thing was I had to find how to kind of get over my fears. Like this horse bucked me off 2 times within like 15 minutes. And because of that, I had this fear. And every time I rode him, I stacked all of these these false memories, or even maybe they weren't even all just false, but even these memories I just kept stacking on top of each other.
Yep.
And how I started recognizing every time he flinched, maybe he was going to buck. Every time he did this, he was going to buck. Every time he looked at this, he was going to buck. And the more I stacked that negative on top of each other, it became this thing where it was really overwhelming to try to get over it. It took me darn near a year before my fear just started to dissipate. But it really didn't dissipate until I realized how to use my fear. And we've talked about it. I don't really need to necessarily go down that line, but I'm just saying the verbiage that I even used during all that time really was not a positive one. It was always negative.
Well, and lots of times when we think of things, it's usually an image that flashes up. And then that's when we have our narrative that shows up after that. Mm-hmm. Right? If the narrative is, okay, the horse is going to buck and, I'm going to lose everything, et cetera, then there's a, I believe that.
Yeah.
Or there's a, I'm good.
Well, right? I mean,
and like that, that sets the scale. That's the difference.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. You just said beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Beliefs. That's literally what has shaped the entire world that it is today.
Yeah.
Right? Beliefs. We believe this to be true. But what if it isn't? So these are just kind of things that I've always, for my fear of flying, I believe that plane could go down.
That's the belief.
But what if it doesn't?
It's right.
And so I need to, you know, and the same fear, I believe that this horse could buck. Hmm. But if I keep believing that through the ride, I'm actually going to probably make the horse buck.
Probably so, because it feeds right off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and horses,
they know.
Right. Horses know. They feel that energy. So while a plane's a little bit different, if I sat there and thought about it, doesn't mean it'll happen. But if I'm riding a horse and I feel that fear that it's going to happen, well, you're darn near right. It's probably going to happen.
Got it.
So beliefs are such a big thing. So figuring out how to change those beliefs.
That's it. So let's consider for a moment, I know, bit of a rabbit hole, but the conversation about the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I can sit here and spew off all of these statistics about the airplanes.
Sure.
And that there's thousands of them in the air, that there's so many different flights, and that, the percentage of people that die from that versus cars and blah, 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 blah,
sure.
blah. And so all of that stuff is nice,
mm-hmm.
but unless you have any kind of buy-in,
mm-hmm.
it means nothing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we have to look at. And when all of a sudden you do have that buy-in, it makes a substantial difference. It's the moment that for you riding that horse that had bucked you off 2 times, there was a concrete belief, it is going to hell or high water, I'm going to ride this horse and get better.
Mm-hmm.
And when that same type of belief gets shifted even to the airplane, of this thing's good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Then every bump, every little bit, all of a sudden becomes the roller coaster. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a fear of roller. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
Because the chances are so slim.
Yeah.
That would ever happen to you on an airplane. And it's one of these things where, speaking of roller coasters, for my daughter, she loves them. She's 9 years old. Like, we're looking for whatever we can get onto.
Yeah.
And I'm like, grow, baby, grow. So she can get on some of those things. And it's interesting because I even talked to her one time, and I know logic and emotion, she actually gotten it, understood. And I said, baby, about this roller coaster, they will do anything they possibly can to keep you alive.
Yeah.
And I know this sounds awful. People are like, you said this to a 9-year-old, but you're worth more alive than dead.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. They're going to have major payouts.
To the park.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the airlines.
Sure.
And it's just that little bit of reasoning when I say to her, baby, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that you have a good time and that you're safe.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same thing with the airlines. And that being the case, it's just that one little extra thing you can add in there, a belief that you can build on. Mm-hmm. And then you build on, plus the experience too.
Yeah.
You've flown, I remember you even talked about, so many different times and you enjoyed it.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden a story got in there.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that buy-in is on the right thing versus the other.
Well, something you just kind of mentioned, I just want to touch upon it quickly because I know we could probably go really in depth with this, is story.
Oh, my goodness.
So story is such a big thing. I mean, I know this whole thing was supposed to be about just verbage, but I think
story's language.
So is that right?
Yeah.
Story as we even uncovered for myself, and we're just going to use myself because that's fine.
You know, we got permission from you.
Yeah, you get permission from me. It's because I'm sure everybody can relate to it in some way, shape, or form. Whether you know, mine was for airplanes. I had a fear with horses, and now I just have a healthy sense of fear, which I think is the big R word, which is respect.
Yeah.
And so a healthy sense is a really great thing to have all the time. You shouldn't get up there and say, you know, be completely fearless, because completely fearless is actually, you're probably going to be closer to death.
The other R word, reckless.
Yeah, exactly. You're much closer to death than you are if you had a healthy sense. Anyway, story. Sometimes we don't realize how the story isn't straight in front of us, meaning we use all these things. Like continue using me. Like I said, I have a fear of flying, but really, do I have the fear of flying, or is it something else? Is it something more? Is it something completely different from that?
Yeah.
And it was in my case. And for me, one of the things that we were learning was that it started after having kids.
Mm-hmm.
It started when I realized that, you know, I'm not invincible.
I got something to lose.
I've got something to lose. I don't want to leave them behind.
Right.
And all of that story really, really played into that fear of flying.
Yeah. And the same thing for the riders, too.
Exactly.
How many times we've had people come to the clinics as well and say things like, well, they thought, same thing. I'm afraid of riding, afraid of riding. I'm afraid of this.
Yeah.
Then there's the real story shows up.
Yeah. You know, and that's kind of the biggest thing is you start to get into the story and it's completely different.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to learn to listen to yourself to figure out what part of that story is actually, you know, stemming forth the problem areas, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's a huge piece.
Well, and a part of it too, and I loved what you said, the word respect.
Mm-hmm.
You respect the horse. Well, it's the same thing there's certain things that you do, but you're also, there's a part of you that allows for whatever to show up, shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same thing with the airline as well. Like there's certain things that you do on the plane for yourself. Like for myself, when I sit down in the plane, I count the rows of seats to the front entrance exit in front of me, the one behind me, so that even if my eyes are closed, I can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know, I kind of get an idea of who's around me. I get an idea of, you know, how I'm feeling, those kind of things. And so that's about all I can do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's the limits of what I can do. I know
sure.
where the flotation device is. I know how the seatbelt works.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but that's it.
That's it.
The rest of it, you just kind of experience.
Exactly.
And so one of the things that you can do, like I know the tie-ins are like, how's he tying this in? The respect for that, for the horse is that whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You do the best you can with what you have, and then whatever shows up, shows up.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you if the flight's going to 100% get there or not, and I can't tell you 100% if you're going to get off that horse, you know, the way that you want to.
That's right.
And so that being the case, there is a bit of an acceptance there and recognizing that, is the reward risk worth it?
Yeah.
The reward risk, I can speak. With the horse
is... The reward worth the risk.
Do I feel, you know, enlivened, joyful, at peace, free, all of those things. Is that worth me getting on there with the possibility of something happening?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, then do it.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with the flight. Is the ability for you to travel around and see people or to do business or to just see what's there worth the risk?
Yeah.
And if the story is yes, well, then it's worth the work.
Yeah.
To get it done.
Sure. So... Obviously, we could geek out on this kind of stuff probably all day, but we got other stuff to do. And I think this has been really helpful, and I hope that people find help with this. But one of the biggest pieces to take away from this particular podcast is talking about change the verbiage.
Yeah. So
and
let's like the homework, too.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that if you start, recognize, and first piece of homework from me would be recognize the verbiage that you use.
Write it down.
Yeah.
So make out a list.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that I'm constantly saying myself that are in the negative. Well, if you take
it, you'd probably be surprised what you actually say to yourself.
You know, that's a whole other conversation there. But if for a moment, if you would, imagine taking a piece of paper, drawing a line right down the middle of it. And on one side, you got your negative thoughts. On the other side, you got thoughts that encourage, inspire, move you forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of look at those and balance those between. And if you recognize that those negative thoughts are showing up, interrupt them and start going after the ones that do work for you.
I think it's great homework. All right, man. Well, thank you very much, Nathan. It's always been a joy talking to you about these things. And I know I've gotten feedback that these podcasts and stuff have actually been very helpful to people, just kind of putting them in a better place and better understanding of things. And I hope that we can continue to bring these things to people.
This episode sponsored by Pan Am.
All right. With that being said, everybody, I'm leaving.
Does Pan Am even exist?
Yeah. And goodbye.